Up next, some awesome faucets and the Handy Guys Talk video.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast. This is episode number 52, and on this episode, we are going to talk about how to install what is seemingly simple. It's a new faucet for one of your sinks. We're going to particularly be looking at a Price Pfister faucet and a Groey faucet, both water conservation type faucets.
Yep.
High end, very nice. And, you know, it seems like a very simple thing to do, Brian, but is it? And that's what we're going to talk about later in the show. And also, in the beginning of our show, we're going to talk about video, the Handy Guys in video, and whether that's important to our listeners. But before we do that, let's hand out our contact information.
Okay.
Hand out or give out?
Give out.
Okay.
Pass out? No, give out. You can always call us at area code 615-676-0877 or come to our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com. Fill out the contact form or just email us at handyguyspodcast.com.
We've been getting a fair amount of questions. We got some good ones lately. We get a lot of stuff on basement finishing. I wonder why that is, Brian.
Well, we did a bunch of shows on basement finishing, and we're top ranked on Google search for finishing basements and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, so it seems to be a hot topic, but you know, there's some specific items, and we'll probably address them in future shows. Insulation is a huge one.
Right.
And we'll probably dedicate a whole show to that. But today we want to talk about, firstly, we want to talk about video. And
that's right.
We have produced a video. We both installed some new faucets recently, and we want to talk about that later in the show. But we thought it would be interesting to videotape the process, sort of a first-person view, what it would look like if you were a fly on the inside of the cabinet
yeah,
or the vanity, what it would look like to install a sink. And most of us, you know, I'm sure a lot of the people listening to the show have installed new faucets before, but we wanted to just take, you know, analyze the process, see how long it takes, how hard is it, and really cover every step of it. And so we've produced two videos, one of Brian, Handy Guy Brian, installing his Price Pfister faucet, and the other one of myself installing a Groey faucet. And we're going to post them on our site along with this post of our podcast. So if you're listening, if you download this and listen with your iPod, check it out on our website. And we want to get some feedback. I'll let you take over, Brian, and explain what we're going to try to accomplish with this.
Yeah, these two videos are a proof of concept, and we did them in two different ways. One, we have, you know, both are very short, short and to the point on installing the faucet. One we did with just a little bit of musical accompaniment and some subtitles and so forth, describing each step of the process. And the other one we did with me narrating what I was doing as I went along doing the faucet install. So we'd like your feedback as to which general style you like. Also feedback on quality.
The length.
Too long, too much information, not enough information.
Any feedback we can get. And keep in mind that we use low-end cameras, low-end microphones for this. If we continue to do video, we're going to beef that up and have much better sound.
That's
and
right.
Better video. In fact, we're even going to look at high-def options.
Right. So we want your feedback on that as well. So if we go, is high-def important to you all? Do you want to watch it on your Apple TV? Do you want to watch it on some other type of multimedia PC, sitting on your couch and watching it?
Your iPod?
Or do you want to watch it on like an iPod Touch or on your iPhone and have our videos there? What about Ustream or YouTube? Is anyone interested in those technologies for our video? And a few other sort of new technology things to go along with our revamped website that we're looking into as well. And that's Twitter. Are any of our listeners on Twitter? Would you like us to send out updates on Twitter or ask us questions via Twitter? We might look into that. Or even have a social community where our listeners can interact with each other, post pictures, questions, videos, and things like that. Are those type of features of any interest to our listeners.
So we're going to have, along with these two sample videos, we'll call them, because they're not really final production cut videos.
Right.
We're going to have them on on our site. We'll also have a little survey. If you could just click through that and answer, what is it going to be, two questions, Brian?
Yeah, we'll have a few questions on there. It'll be about video, like if you're going to watch, are you interested in video at all? And if so, where do you want to watch it? Do you want to watch it on a small device, a big device, on everything?
Right.
Nothing. Don't care.
A lot of people, Brian, I've talked to don't even realize how easy it is to watch streamed video on a TV these days. You know, you can just take a laptop. If you have a flat screen, high def TV, a lot of them have PC ports on them. You can connect the laptop to the TV and watch the video, but it's got to be of good quality. You know, a YouTube video is typically going to look horrible.
Yes.
But if you go to like the Fox and watch, say, 24, you can stream that and get a very good image on your TV and mm-hmm. watch their television shows right off
Absolutely.
The computer. So it's amazing that all the things you can do with video these days through the internet, and the internet is really turning in to a way of broadcasting video and television. It's not just, not over the airwaves or cable anymore, but actually, you know, via the internet itself. And more people are watching, you know, finding their entertainment just right on the web.
That's right. And there's going to be more and more devices, I think, that are going to be appliance-like devices that
or
are going to be
TVs.
Right, dedicated right to video watching on your TV. I know we do have some of our audio subscribers that are using devices like that to listen to our shows. And so making video content available to those folks is kind of maybe what we might be doing in the future.
I know Netflix is already having manufacturers put a decoder chip in their TV so that you can connect it to your internet, you know, with an Ethernet or a wireless connection and stream movies directly to your TV from
that's
Netflix.
Right. You can get the whole internet right there inside your TV. That's pretty amazing.
That's
right?
I think that's where it's going, and we're add-on boxes. Apple TV is one sample of it, but I don't know that it's catching on in a big way yet, but we'll see where it goes.
That's all right. So those kind of things, give us some feedback what you'd like to see on those, and that'll help shape the direction of future things to come on Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, up next, faucet installs.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
All right, Brian, we've talked many times before about how faucets can improve and change the entire look of your bathroom or your powder room and really give you a great new look just by putting on some new hardware. Maybe not just faucets. Maybe you want to change the hinges and the shower heads and everything else. But just a faucet is a nice new look. It makes it, especially if your vanity is in decent shape, it can really give a cleaner look to your bathroom. Well, we thought we'd go ahead and try, not that we haven't done it before, but to go ahead and do it again, think through the process, and talk about the process of installing some new faucet hardware. So you have a Price Pfister faucet, which you installed in your downstairs bathroom, your half bath, right?
That's right, in the powder room.
And I installed some Growy faucets in my master bathroom, where I have two sinks. So I have two faucets, and I've installed one so far. I still need to do the other. And we're going to talk about some of the pitfalls you can run into, some of the what you need to think about when you're going to put in a new faucet. And why don't we start? The whole topic. It's relatively simple to install faucets. It doesn't require a lot of tools. So your typical handy guy has the tools to do the job, right?
That's right. So, you know, an adjustable wrench and a pair of slip joints or channel lock pliers, I think, would be about all you need.
Yeah, maybe you're going to want a screwdriver, especially for, like, on the stem, I needed a Phillips head.
Okay, on the Price Pfister, I didn't need a screwdriver.
Okay, that's typical to have that, though.
Yeah, and I can't think of what else you might need.
You might need some other pliers just to have handy, but that's about all you need right there.
Flashlight, you know, if you're underneath the cabinet or something.
Yeah, eye protection. So water doesn't shoot you in the face if you don't get everything tight.
Yeah, no, I didn't use that, but... yeah, if you say so, Paul.
All right. So what are the tools? We talked about channel locks, adjustable pliers. What are the other supplies that you're going to need to do the faucet install?
You are going to want some Teflon tape, perhaps, plumber's putty.
Right.
And then you're going to need your supply lines. If the old ones aren't going to be reusable.
Right. So there's a good chance that you're going to want to get some flexible supply lines that you can get to reinforce the braided
stainless steel ones.
Yeah. Right. And that'll make your job much easier. And so you really need to check to see how yours are connected. Some are using the flexible copper, and when you remove that, it's sometimes easier just to use the braided supply lines. And
sure.
You can also use a joint compound or pipe dope for the threads instead of the Teflon tape. So you have some alternatives.
And some of those too will have like on the supply lines, they'll have gaskets, and you don't need any Teflon tape or pipe dope on there. Some people like to double up and use that, but I find it's fine just relying on that gasket in the connection if it has it.
Yeah, I like sometimes to use and you'll see in my video, actually, I use the Teflon or the pipe dope depending on where the threads were and what I could reach and what was easier. I liked it just to make a nice tight connection. But you're right, I didn't always have to. So, okay, Brian, so those are the tools you need. Not much. Most people have the supplies. If you need some plumber's putty or some Teflon tape, it's cheap. And you can get it at the home center. So it's not going to cost you a lot of money unless you get high-end faucets like we did.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about these faucets and what makes them high-end. And why don't I'll first talk about the faucet that I installed. I got a Growy. It's an Arden. It's called a mini set because it's made for a vanity where the holes are only, there's three holes. There's a center hole, then the two holes for the hot and the cold are only, I think, 4 inches apart. So they're close together. And so you need to make sure you get the right set. Some sinks have the hot and the cold further apart, and they may have are designed for that with a bigger or wider escutcheons.
Right, wider set.
So that would be a wide set. So in my case, I use the Arden. Now, what makes this set special? Well, a couple things. Number one, the particular set I use is a Water Care version, which is Water Care.
Yeah, tell us about Water Care, Paul. Mine also was a Water Care version. That's an EPA program, right?
Right. It's an EPA program to save water. Faucets actually account for about 15% of indoor household water use. And there's more than a trillion gallons of water across the United States each year just through faucets. And the WaterSense faucets can save about 30% without sacrificing 30% of the water that you use without sacrificing performance. Now think about it, Brian. I mean, if I was brushing my teeth and just left the water running the whole time I brushed my teeth.
I always do that.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people do that. But you're actually wasting water. Well, what about the water you could be potentially wasting when you're using it? For instance, you're wetting your toothbrush. Do you really need, a gallon of water flowing through there just to wet your toothbrush? Well, the nice thing about the WaterSense faucets is that they only give you enough water to do the job. And so it seems as though when you turn it on, it still gives you a nice stream of water, but it's not that heavy blast, that's really more than you need in most situations. So you can save if your household, an average household, has the WaterSense faucets on all your sinks, and obviously you'd have to have it on all of your sinks, you can save more than 500 gallons a year. And that's a nice savings, especially as water prices, and a lot of the experts say that the water prices are going to start going up.
Right. And this is a big issue in some areas. Like I know in Atlanta in 2008, there was a number of droughts.
That's right.
And they were under water restrictions and so forth. And if every home that was drawing from those aquifers was saving 30%, they may not have had the issues that they were having.
Well, let me tell you a few more things about the Arden set. The difference between my set and yours was that yours was just a center handle, right?
That's right.
And so you didn't have a hot and a cold. It was one handle that you just turn one direction or the other. The advantage of that is what, having a set like that?
You can use it one-handed, right? What else? nice expression on your face there, Paul.
That was clever.
We got to go to video.
It also has scald.
It prevents anti-scald,
right? So if someone flushes the toilet, it's not going to scald you if you're washing your hair or something in your sink.
Right.
So there are those advantages. Now, so that's the big difference. Now,
And it's a look because...
Yeah, it's a different look, right?
And the one that I installed was the Price Pfister called the Ashfield. And that one's kind of a, country-inspired kind of a look. It looks like an old well pump,
right.
And it kind of fits in with the style of the bathroom. You know, we've got the natural wood paneling and, stuff like that. So it kind of, and the wood cabinets, it kind of fit in there, look kind of nice. And it, The interesting thing about the Price Pfister one, the Ashfield, is it was designed for a single hole in the middle, but it also had a base plate so that it could cover the standard three-hole sink, if that's what you had.
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't drilling a new hole,
exactly,
it could go in either.
That's nice, and it was fairly easy to install. But why would you – let's talk about the quality of these, because both of these faucets were sort of high-end. They're pricey, and they're heavy-duty. Let me talk about my Arden, my Growy Arden. First of all, I think it's manufactured. Is it a German company, Brian? Do you recall?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a German company. It's not found, I've noticed, in some of the big box stores, but you can find it online. And when you open this the box that it comes in and just pick up one of the handles, you're impressed by the sheer weight of it.
It's a big hunk of solid brass.
Right. And it's we got ours in a, I guess it's called a shiny, like a
chrome finish.
And it is solid. This thing is a nice high-end piece of hardware. And you really feel like you're putting in a component that's going to last years and years when you're installing it. What about yours?
Yeah, I found the same thing. It was, you know, mine was all one piece. I didn't have separate handles or anything like that. But it probably weighed twice as much as the one that I pulled out, the one that the builder had put in.
Right. So we were both replacing kind of the builder grade faucets.
Yep.
And so we were upgrading. Well, why don't we talk up next about the process of upgrading, whether we ran into any problems and whether this is a job for the typical handyman, whether the non-handy person can do it or where. Let's talk about it up next.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, Brian, installing a faucet on the surface is not a difficult thing to do.
Read the manual, follow the instructions, and away you go.
That's right. So, you know, obviously the first thing you want to do is turn off the water. With most newer homes, you're going to find a shutoff valve right under the sink.
Well, and what if you don't have a shutoff valve under the sink, Paul?
Well, that's a shame. That really is. Actually, it is a bummer. You know, you see an older home, they have no shutoff valve. It seems like it's such an obvious thing to do. You know, it's like, what were they thinking? And, you know, toilets didn't have them either. But then you got to turn off your whole house water. In fact, I would encourage you at that point
to put valves in.
But that's a whole other
topic, yeah, whole other show.
Maybe we should have a show on that. But assuming you have a shutoff valve under the sink, or if you don't, you got to turn off the water. So whether it's the whole house water or under the sink, the nice thing about having the shutoff water under the sink, there's actually a good thing and a bad thing. The bad thing is a lot of times the valves are cheap. So there's a chance it may not work.
Right. Or they may leak or drip.
Exactly.
Or if they're old, especially.
But the good thing is you shut it off, and it seems to me it's a very low-pressure job from there on. Because unless it's the only bathroom in your entire house,
right,
if you
you're
screw
not up
something
against
up,
the clock.
Yeah, you're not up against the clock. If you screw something up royally, you can still wash your hands somewhere else. So that's
if you've got another sink.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Most people have more than one sink. I have a kitchen sink if it's a bathroom. You know, you have something. It's a little bit more pressure if it was a kitchen sink. But
sure. In
my case, I have two sinks in the master bath. So the whole time I'm thinking, well, you know, if I get interrupted, if I, you know, slash my hand by accident, right. If a kid, you know, gets hurt and I have to run to the hospital.
Who knows?
You know,
anything
whatever.
Could happen.
No big deal.
You have a 3.4 magnitude earthquake come through.
No big deal. We have another sink. Okay. So that was a nice thing. So you turn off the water, and then the next thing you want to do is disconnect the hoses. And that just takes a wrench. It's very simple, assuming you have a compression fitting, again, and not some sort of copper,
directly soldered in. But
most newer homes, it's just a compression, which just means there's just a little nut you got to loosen, and you can take the hose off. All right, so you get that off. And then from there, you just really look under the sink and you can see how the old faucet is attached. You determine, you know, what method it's used under the sink. Usually there's some nuts and you just need to loosen them to get the faucet out.
That's what I find the hardest part, Paul.
It can be.
Because you're underneath the sink, back up in there, it's dark, it's hard to reach. You're trying to navigate a light and a video camera at the same time.
In our case, yeah.
And
you spilled the Comet and the soft scrub, and you're trying to clean that up.
Right. So you're laying on your back, and you're all contorted in there. You're trying not to knock the camera over and get those nuts off. So it's kind of a pain in the butt. And sometimes they don't want to come off either, you know.
Right.
And so you might have to try a different wrench or a different position or adjust the wrench
or something like that. Some sinks, there's just no room to get a wrench up there. to loosen that nut. So what do you need to do then?
Well, they make a special wrench called a basin wrench, which kind of it works differently than any other wrench you've seen, and it can reach into tight spaces. And they'll have those at the hardware store, and they'll show you how to use them there.
I have one. I had to use it for a sink where I couldn't reach up with a wrench, and I was going to use it for this job, but it was 5 degrees outside, and it was somewhere in my garage, and it was freezing, and I didn't feel like spending the time to find it, so I said, forget it.
Just use the adjustable wrench, right. And you may do.
I may do. Okay, so you get up there, you loosen that wrench. You also need to begin to disassemble the drain, the stopper, the control mechanism that's connected to the drain.
That's right. If you have a pop-up, you're going to want to take the pop-up off. You're going to want to take – this is if you're – if you're changing out the drain and the pop-up,
right.
Too.
True.
Take all that off.
But you at least need to get part of that removed so that you can lift the faucet up because it has the control mechanism.
Right.
But you need to at least loosen it.
Right.
So you're right. That's a good point because some faucets come with their own drain. They usually do because you want it to match.
That's
so if you have a chrome faucet, you want to have a chrome drain cover. And in my case, I already had a chrome drain cover. I still replaced it. And I don't know if it was worth the extra time to do that or not, but I did.
Well, it was probably a better grade.
Yeah.
It was probably a little heavier duty, thicker, metal versus plastic and, stuff like that.
I did it on my sink. I'm not sure I'm going to do it on the wife's sink, though.
You better. I mean, that was the whole part
of
the deal,
right?
She'll
notice that they don't match, right? All right. So then once you get the faucet out and you begin to clean, there's sometimes some plumber's putty underneath the old faucet. You clean off the sink. You got to get that drain assembly completely removed. And there's a nut that you need. Usually you need to use your channel locks. There's a big nut and there's a big, sort of a big washer, O-ring underneath it. And it's kind of a pain because it's usually reverse threaded. So it's
reverse threaded.
Yeah, mine, I had to go around the opposite way to loosen it. What you would think. I think. I don't know. Watch the video. You'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because I was working backwards upside down, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, you were upside down. So it was still a righty-tighty, lefty-loosey thing, but because you were upside down, it seemed like it was backwards.
Yeah, I'm going to have to review my own video. I can't remember. But anyway, that takes a while, and it's just, it's not difficult, but it takes a little bit of muscle and a little bit of patience just getting those things taken apart. And you're going to want – you used a bucket in your video. I just had a towel sitting under my sink to remove the trap. And because it collects your water, of course. And,
sure, you're going to have a little bit of water leak out from your supply lines and from, you got your trap and you're going to want to drop that, dump that somewhere.
So, yeah, you're going to want to have a towel underneath your sink just to start the whole job. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you get the drain removed and then you begin to, connect and put the new faucet in. And after cleaning out the sink and everything, I installed the faucet first because the drain kind of gets in the way. So if you can
do that
last, you're better off.
Now here's even better, Paul, would be is if you're going to replace the sink as well, let's say you're going to upgrade the sink and the faucet.
Sure.
You can actually do the attaching, do as much work as you can on the new sink before you install the sink. That way you're not working underneath the cabinet. So attach the faucet, attach part of the drain assembly, and do that all, and then put the sink with everything attached and install that.
Right. Maybe we should just put in a new sink just to make the whole process easier.
It would be easier.
Let's start over. All right. So
I don't have a sink. So
no.
I don't have a new sink.
Right. So. And neither did I. So, okay. So then you put the faucet down, and then you start thinking about connecting hoses. You need to check the hoses to see if they're long enough.
Yeah, that was my thing. I did a quick look in the box on the Price Pfister, and I said, oh, there's supply line hoses in here. And so I didn't plan ahead to make sure they were going to be long enough or they were the right ones and so forth. Well, of course, they weren't. I needed to get supply line hoses because the one I took out had long hoses attached permanently to the faucet, and I couldn't reuse those. So I'm halfway through the project, and sure enough, I got to stop, run to the hardware store, get new supply lines, and come back. Now that all is in the matter of 1 second on the video, the way we edited it, but that was an hour and a half trip to go to the store and get those and come back.
I also needed to get some additional hoses, Brian, because mine only came, because remember, I have the separate hot and cold, so you actually, they provided you hoses, some braided hoses, where you ran to a center connector, and then you also needed, actually, to the center, the spigot.
Right.
And it had a little T-fitting that came down below the sink from the spigot. So you ran those from the hot and the cold, but then you still needed to supply the hot and the cold to the actual handles.
Right.
And to do that, they didn't provide the hoses. And what I had to take out some copper, and it didn't work. So it
wasn't
going
to fit. So yeah. You had to go get your own supply lines as well.
So I pretty much had to do the same thing. All right, so you get your supply lines, and then you simply need to make the connections or compression fittings. It's fairly easy. You use your wrench. Do you need to use pipe dope or Teflon tape, Brian?
You do not need to do that. Some people like to take a belts and suspenders approach and use that as well as the gasket that's built into those braided ends of the braided lines.
Right, so assuming they have the gaskets, mine came with them attached to the hoses, and I just had to make sure I didn't lose them. But I had the gaskets. I still use the Teflon tape just to be sure. And I can't remember, but I thought my instructions recommended it anyway. But nevertheless.
Yeah, check your instructions that come with it.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of jobs, I like to measure the complexity and how many trips to the hardware store, right? I think I've mentioned that on a previous show, perhaps. But this was, you know, a one-trip job.
Right.
As I put it sometimes.
Okay, so you finish those connections, and then you need to reinstall the drain assembly.
Yep.
You need to put your plumber's putty down, and we show this in our video, underneath where the drain goes.
Right. Anytime you have metal connecting up to porcelain or china or whatever your sink is made of, you're going to want some plumber's putty in that connection.
It's real easy. You just take it out of the can, you roll it like Play-Doh and into a small like snake, and you put it in the area and press down on it, and you connect it from below. Actually, drains in general are always more difficult for, you know, they just.
You think so?
In general, not necessarily for sinks like this, but I just meant in plumbing in general. I think supply lines are always easier because you don't have to worry about making sure gravity is perfect. You got pressure. And so drains, I've always had finicky issues with. If something, they just not lined up right, you just got to mess and fuss with them, getting the trap back into place. And actually, I didn't have many problems this time, but I have in the past. You know, a little leak. I've had leaks on those drains, and then eventually they go away because of the water deposits, I think.
You think so?
So you need to make sure, though, in that when you have your trap, that there's usually little gaskets or O-fittings. And when you make your compressions,
and they've got to be in the right place.
Right.
So when you take that apart, just watch how it was put together originally and put it back the same way.
So you wrestle that into place, and then you make your, if there are any final hose connections, you make your connections, make sure they're all tight. Don't make my mistake, which if you watch my video on the grow, you'll see at the end. Where I forgot to tighten a couple connections because I was too busy futzing around with cameras and lights.
Right.
And then go ahead and test it.
That's right. Check for leaks, and if it's all good, then bring in your honey and let her take a look and say, here, look what I did.
And try it out. And now you'll have a new water care version, EPA-approved faucet. You'll save water, and you'll have a beautiful new faucet at the same time.
That's right.
Now, they also make water care versions of, shower heads.
That's right.
And,
you put in a matching shower head, too, did you not?
I still need to do it.
Okay.
One more trip to the hardware store because I got to get an extender for the shower head because it's really high and I need to extend it down so you have more control it.
Well, good. We'll take a couple pictures of that maybe for a future post.
Yeah, we'll put that. That's a pretty simple job. Again, you know, just a little Teflon tape and some pliers and that's pretty much it.
All right. So do you think the average handy guy, handy gal is going to be able to install a faucet themselves?
Yeah, I think the average handy guy or handy gal can do it. However, what I was thinking about, you know, we've mentioned this project in previous episodes. We said it's an easy job, and for us, it is an easy job. And it's not a complex job, per se, but I don't know that it's easy in that anyone can just go down there and do it because it does require some hand strength, some... you're often working with two hands, one above the sink, one below, to get things tight. And I found that I was really using my hands hard. And I don't know, you know, I was thinking some other members of my family, if they tried to do it, I don't know that they have the hand strength to even, you know, mess with some of that. Now, maybe if they were really determined, they could do it, but.
Yeah, or maybe had a helper.
Right. And also, you know, just seeing it, hopefully our videos will help someone that hasn't done it before. But just seeing, you know, where you put the putty, none of it's that hard. But if you've never seen it before, when you read about it, you may not know what they're talking about when someone mentions Teflon tape or plumber's putty.
That's right. So, you know, for our listeners, please, you know, if you're listening on your iPod, take a moment, go back to our website, take a look at the videos. And we have two different ones there, installing the Growy and installing the Price Pfister. And we'd love your feedback on those videos. You know, do you like the one with the narration better? Do you like the one with the captions better? And, you know, was it too much information? Not enough information? Would you like to see more of that? Would you like it to be completely a video format instead of an audio format? You know, tell us what you'd like to see, and we'll try to have a survey up there too, and answer that survey if you wouldn't mind. We'd really appreciate it.
All right, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast.
Thanks. Bye.